Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood alongside Mary Margaret West.
Hey.
John Paul is out today traveling the world.
That's fun.
The United States, at least. Producer Nathan also in the house today. We're thankful to spend another episode with all of you. It is midsummer.
It's crazy.
It's the hot time of summer. It always goes by so fast. Like here with Lifeway students, we do, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you probably have picked up on this throughout the course of the episodes, but we do a lot of summer camp, a lot of mission trip stuff with World Changers, Access International, of course, Fuge, and Student Life on the summer camp side of things. And we work all year round to get ready for those.
Yeah.
And then here we are like 6 weeks into the summer and they're all almost done.
It's crazy.
Like it goes by so fast. Mm-hmm. And I know that you, who are in student ministry, in the trenches of the local church, maybe feeling a little bit of that too, that summer has flown by and all of the things that you've put into action and the programming that you've done. And, you know, some of you might still be going to camp these last few weeks of the summer. Mm-hmm. But, like, my kids go back to school on August 5th.
Gosh.
Like, we're...
Whoa.
Like, we're 3 weeks away.
Oh, my goodness.
From school being back in, at least in our part of the country. I know when we lived in Virginia, we didn't start school until... I think it was after Labor Day.
Wow.
Which always felt really weird to me.
Yeah.
It was late. So I know not everybody is on the early go back to school, but summer seems to fly by. And one of the things that we wanted to talk about on the podcast today and help you think through is just to begin thinking about the fall in terms of your campus ministry. So by campus, we mean what you're going to do to impact the schools of your area this coming fall. And if you haven't put thought into that yet, now is the time because it's going to be here before you know it. Even if you're in one of those September starting, it's going to be here. It's right around the corner.
Yep.
So if you have a plan that you ran last year for campus ministry, dust that plan off. Get it out and let's evaluate it. Let's not just run the same play that you ran last year. Mm-hmm. Let's think through that. And hopefully, with our topic today, preparing for campus ministry this fall, you'll have some things to think through, maybe be challenged on some things, encouraged, in a direction that you're thinking through and heading through all ready. But before we get to that, do you watch the show Big Brother? Have we talked about that?
You've asked me that before, and no, I don't watch Big Brother, but I know that you do.
Yeah. John Paul does, too. I might lose credibility by people on the podcast thinking, man, you watch Big Brother, but it's just one of those, like...
Mindless.
Yeah. It actually engages my mind a little bit because I'm trying to think through if I were on the show, what I would strategically be doing.
Yeah. It's like a social experiment.
For sure it is. But there's always, Julie is the host. She's been the host for a long time, and she'll always do a teaser and then say, but first, that's what just popped into my mind
Perfect.
As I did the topic. And was like,
but first.
Before we get to that, yeah. So you guys know the drill. We would love to have you subscribe to the podcast. That way you don't miss a single episode. It's delivered straight to your device or your computer or wherever you listen to podcasts without you even having to think about it. So hit the subscribe button, and we'd love to hear what you think of the podcast. Leave a rating and review. Stars and words help people find this podcast. Yeah. So if you enjoy it, help other people find it. Tell a friend. And now on to today's topic. So when we think about preparing for campus ministry in the fall, I think the first thing that we have to mention is have a plan.
Yeah.
Like just in general, take some time to sit down and say, okay, let's make a plan for this fall. Let's not just show up at a campus or go into the fall when school starts and say, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
But sit down and come up with a plan. And so some things to think through. What do you want to accomplish through campus ministry this year? Like set some goals for it. Make some things measurable. Any goal is a measurable goal. And so think through a plan, have a strategy, like what do you want to accomplish?
Mm-hmm.
What's the main goal? And then the strategy piece of it, like how are you going to accomplish that goal? What are you going to be involved in?
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, if you're going to be on campuses, as you are talking to students, like let them know ahead of time, like, hey, Wednesday, I'm coming to your school. Like, I'm going to be there for lunch. And also, if you are just broadly saying, like, hey, I'm going to be on your campuses this semester, you better follow through on it. Because
yeah.
students, like, there are a lot of your students, like, have a totally different interaction with you on their school campus than they do in your youth room on Wednesday nights or wherever it is that you meet. And if you tell them you're coming, you better show up.
Yeah.
And so follow through
that
on it.
That is totally true. Yeah. I love that you said that because I think part of any plan, we talked about the goal, we talked about the strategy and how mm-hmm. you pull off the goal, but building in accountability
yeah.
that you just mentioned is a huge part of that, especially mm-hmm. for campus ministry, because there's just awkwardness there.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you're one of those people that thrives in walking into an uncomfortable situation,
mm-hmm.
this is going to be awkward
oh,
for
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm. It's there. Like, I still, like, I can, like, feel it, like, how weird it was, especially to walk into, like, a middle school lunchroom, like, and just be like,
it's
I don't know
so
what
weird.
I'm doing. It's so awkward, you yeah. know? And, but that's where, like, it's those moments where you just have to push past. And, like, and I'm an extrovert, and it's awkward for me. So, like, just know that if you feel awkward, it's super normal. But, like, but it makes a big difference to your students to show up and to, like, especially if you say you're going to show up.
Yeah. And if you'd say you are
yeah.
and you don't,
ooh, they're
they
gonna...
will let you hear about it.
Yeah.
And so that accountability, even with your students, is a huge piece mm-hmm. to this. I've been in a lot of campuses for lunch, and in our culture today, fewer and fewer
yep.
schools are allowing student pastors and youth ministry leaders on campus during that lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about some other ways to be involved in campus ministry, but some still are allowing that.
Yeah.
And maybe after relationship, they will open the door more to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember walking onto school campuses and feeling like you feel like you're in seventh grade all over again.
Oh, yeah.
And like, am I going to know anybody? Is there going to be anywhere for me to sit?
Yeah. Is somebody going to ask me to, like, are my students going to like turn their head and look the other direction?
Yeah. Are they
yeah.
going to be like excited I'm there, or are
yeah.
they going to totally ignore me? Like all of those things run through your
oh,
mind.
Yeah. It's,
it is like the petri dish of insecurity.
Yes.
To do campus ministry in
it
some
really
ways.
Is.
But I think one of the things that we can mention about heading into campus ministry is you just have to be willing to push through the awkward.
Yeah.
You can't allow that to keep you from doing this. And that's one
yeah.
of the places where having a clear goal, mm-hmm. having the strategy of how we're going to accomplish that goal, and building in measures and accountability
yeah.
will help you kind of push through that.
And really, Ben, like you said, you know, a lot of schools won't let you be on campus like schools have historically in the past. And so I think as you work with school administration and the whoever it is, that gatekeeper at the front desk of the school, become her friend and, you know, figure out ways where you can live within whatever boundaries they set for you. And I think, you know, one thing that was always a big deal when I was first starting doing campus ministry like 10 plus years ago is that like we couldn't come in advertising anything. We could just come and visit our students. And
yeah.
so like go with purpose, but not with an agenda.
Yeah.
Like go to just build relationship, to build trust, to show up, to say, how can I help? Like, and not even, and I think, you know, we'll head this direction too, but it's like, it's not even just about going to lunch or to it, like showing up to a game, but it's looking around and saying, how can I help? Like, what can our church do to serve your school in ways that will help build that trust and relationship that could potentially open doors?
Yeah, there's a lot of points in what you just said for people to remember. And I think the non-agenda one
mm-hmm.
is massive
yeah.
because when we go to promote an event,
mm-hmm.
Even if it's to a team that we partner with at the school. Maybe it's not lunch, but it's a team, or maybe it is lunch for you. When we go and our sole goal in mind is to promote an event,
mm-hmm.
I think that's when people begin to get frustrated.
Yeah.
And that's when we hear stories about, you know, a student went home and told their parents, you know, this person from the church was inviting me. And then those parents get upset and they call the principal. And then the principal says, okay, you're not allowed here anymore because this is now causing me problems.
Yep.
You want to be there to help the administration and the faculty, not cause problems for them. And I think in that moment, we have to, one, educate and train our students outside, you know, when they're at the church, when they're outside of their campus. Hey, I'm coming not to promote, but just to be with you.
Yeah.
To hang with you, to love on you, to meet your friends. And then when you're there, the other people at the lunch table are going to ask your students, who was that?
Yeah.
Because you're probably obviously not their mom or dad.
Right.
Right. So they're going to ask, who was that? And that's that moment where the training comes in, where you've said, hey, people are going to ask who I am. And that's when you have an open door to say, oh, that's my youth pastor, or that's my small group leader, or that's my whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that gives them an opportunity, student to student, to make the ask or invite or whatever the case may be. Anytime I've been in areas, I've served in student ministry in areas where schools have said, okay, this is getting out of hand. No more churches are allowed at our lunches because it created problems for the administration. And you want to avoid that.
For
one of the ways you avoid that is by getting to know the administration first. Like before you ever show up to go to a team or a lunch or help out, at the beginning of the year, set up a meeting with the administrator, with the principal, with the assistant principal, with the ladies or guys that work in the administration office. Like getting to know that team of people can take you really far down the road in beginning a relationship where you can serve that school.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where, too, look around in your church body to see, are any of those people already at your church? Or are there any teachers in your congregation that you can lean into and just say, hey, what are some ways that you know of that we could love on your school?
Yeah.
And just to find the natural inroads, because I think so much of this feels like it doesn't fit, and so like it's this extra reach that you have to do because it's not in the normal rhythm of what you're doing typically. But if you will just, there are going to be natural inroads through your church body somehow, and just figure out what those are and start there.
Yeah, meet those people, and now would be the time to ask. Hey, heading into this fall, what are some things? What are some unique needs of your specific school?
Yeah,
and how can we help meet those needs? That's the posture that you want to go into the campus with. I think one of the things that I've noticed are we live in an area where the school system is growing and there are new schools being added. And so there has been, over the last few years, there have been new principals. And I've kind of come to this conclusion that principals change in and out pretty frequently. Like in our day-to-day, it's rare that you have a principal that stays throughout multiple years. They're 10 years where where they're with us, the same school, for that amount of time. So I think a good question to ask as you prepare for this fall is, are there new administrators that you can go and meet? Because they're going to be in the habit right now of meeting people anyway, because they might be new to the area or just new to that specific school. They may have come from an elementary school and now they're doing a different age group, or they may have opened a new school and they've moved over, whatever the case may be. There's a good opportunity to meet someone at the administration level if they're new. The same thing I would say, if you are new in your area coming into this fall, you really have one opportunity to walk in and say, hey, I'm the new student pastor, or I'm the new whatever you over here at such and such church.
Yeah.
And that gives you an immediate in for conversation to be able to say, hey, I'm just meeting people in the community and I wanted to meet you, let you know that we're here to serve you any way we can.
Yeah.
You know, if you've been there and you haven't been involved in campus ministry, that conversation can be a little more difficult, because if you show up to meet them and they've been there the whole time and you've been there for the last 3 years, you don't really have that, hey, I'm the new, but again, push through the awkward mm-hmm. and don't let that keep you from doing it.
Yeah.
It's worth stepping out there and saying, hey, I'm the youth pastor at such and such, and I wanted to meet you.
Yeah.
It's worth taking that extra step. But if there's somebody new or if you're new, mm-hmm. it's a natural in to be able to have that initial conversation.
For sure. And there are some moments too where you as a student pastor can empower your leaders, like your small group leaders, those your parents who are discipling their own kids. And you know, parents have accesses to schools that you don't.
Yep.
And so it's like, how can you utilize your people to also have them in the mindset of doing campus ministry so that it doesn't all just fall on you? But just say that you're representatives of, you know, if you go to a football game or a soccer game or a cheer competition or whatever that is, you know, how can you see the bigger picture of what's happening and not just that one student you're there to see, but to have that bigger mindset, but also to remind people, you know, as they go to those games and, you know, the student says, oh, that's my small group leader, my Sunday school teacher, yeah. that you're those people are representatives of your church and they're a representative of you. And so any training and equipping that you can do with your small group leaders and parents on what that looks like to, you know, be a great human being at a game and not be obnoxious or what, yeah. or just to build relationship in that way. I think those things can really go a long way.
Yeah. And I think one of the goals beyond being there to be with your students mm-hmm. and being there to show them you love them, care about them, is to become a familiar face in the community.
Yep.
When you're a familiar face in the community, people begin to ask other family, man, I see this person
yeah.
here. Who are they? Like, mm-hmm. why? I see them talking to your kids. I see them talking to other. Who is this person?
Yeah.
And that has another layer to it, too. You mentioned football games and different seasons have different sports and cheer competitions and band competitions and all those kinds of things. Many times in those environments, you're not going to get to speak to the students that are involved because they're out on
the field,
the court or field yep. or whatever they're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the things to remember in campus ministry is connecting with the parents
yeah.
who are there to support their kids.
Absolutely.
Because you're there doing the same thing. You're there supporting their kids.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that you connect with them
yeah.
is a key point to this kid. And I think it's one that we maybe forget sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but sit with parents. Let them know that yeah. you're going to be there and follow through.
And if you're looking for some just easy ways to connect with students, like say, hey, we're going to so-and-so's match this week. Do you want to come sit with me?
Yeah.
Like so that it's just natural inroads where you're already going to be, where you can ask their friends or some of their peers to come alongside and let's go cheer them on. Like we'll go sit together and let that be an opportunity to hang out with students, you know, in a way that's easy and doesn't cost much and all of that kind of thing. So it's just thinking outside the box. With the more that you can get outside of the box, the easier campus ministry is going to be. And the more that you are visible, the more apt the rest of your leadership is going to be to step in and say, oh, they've made this look really easy. I think I can do this too.
Yeah. So you mentioned the rest of the leadership stepping in. So mm-hmm. this would be like your small group leaders.
Yep.
And so here's one of the things that I've noticed in student ministry. Student pastors will encourage small group leaders, spend time with your students outside of the group.
Mm-hmm.
They have to know that you care for them outside of the group. And there's a lot of emphasis put on and a lot of training, hopefully,
mm-hmm.
put on building relationships outside of the church walls.
Yeah.
Well, number one, if you are saying that and not doing it through your own campus ministry,
yep.
then they're never going to do it.
No.
Right? So let's stop blaming the leaders for not building relationships outside of the church
mm-hmm.
if we as student pastors are not willing to show up at the stuff too.
Yeah.
The other thing that I would say that is sometimes a mismatch in how student pastors lead and what actually happens
mm-hmm.
along the same lines. We would say, we want you to build relationships outside the church. We want you to go to these things. We want you to do this stuff, support the students in your small group.
Yeah.
And then we would go to a student's program or game or competition by ourselves.
Mm.
Instead of saying, 11th grade guy, small group leader.
Yeah.
Would you like to come with me to this band concert? I know that a couple of your guys from your group are in the band.
Yeah.
And I think that's a super easy way to model that you're actually following through and doing something that you are asking them to do.
Yeah.
So as a leader, and anytime we're not willing to do something we ask other people to do, that's a problem. So taking them along models it and says, hey, I'm willing to do this. It also gets them to push through the awkward of not just showing up by themselves.
Yeah.
And it gets you extra time with a volunteer leader.
Yeah.
That on the podcast, we're always harping on spending time with leaders and building relationships with leaders. So when you take the extra step to identify, okay, these students are going to be involved in these activities, I'm going to carve out this Thursday night of my week to go to this activity.
Yeah.
Oh, and these two leaders have students that are going to be involved there. Taking that extra step to say, I'm going, would you like to come with me? Pay for their way in if you have a budget that can support that. I know not every student ministry is in that spot, but they won't care about that if you can't. But taking that extra step helps line up the strategy of the whole student ministry to things that we say we want leaders to do.
So absolutely.
Never go to one of these things by yourself.
Yeah.
If you're married, man, one of the things I hear student pastors talk about a lot is if I do all of this campus ministry, it's more nights of the week that I'm out than my wife or my husband or my kids or whatever. Well, they can go.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know every one of your situations. And so there really might be a situation where they can't. But in most cases, a little forethought and planning, they can go with you.
Oh, yeah. And I think, too, like when you take your spouse and your kids and your whole family shows up somewhere, the thing is like kids are such a bridge builder, especially with students, that I think, you know, there are a bunch of middle school and high school girls who would come and sit and play a game with your kids or, you know, would sit there and hang out with them and, you know, and just like they provide some free entertainment in that moment too, that like just sort of happens really naturally.
Yeah.
And,
that's true.
You know, but it also just lets people get to know your family and not just you and, you know, and just work ahead of time and put those things on the calendar. And that's why I think going back to what you were originally saying, Ben, about planning ahead of time and being strategic, put this on your family's calendar, you know, and talk with your spouse about it and make sure that there's not, it's not always this last minute, I've got to go to this other thing, I've got to show up somewhere else, but saying, let's look ahead of time and figure out when these moments are so that we can do this together as a family.
Yeah. And all I would say yes. And when you put it on the family calendar, it also makes you think through, okay, I'm carving out time to do this for campus ministry. Let's also carve out time where we're just us.
Yeah.
And you're just with those people in your life, whether it's family or friends or whatever it is, your community of people. So here's a question. I love that you are one of the people on this podcast, Mary Margaret, because I think it's so important to have a female leader in ministry's voice on these kind of topics and on ministry in general, but specifically here. I think when we think about campus ministry, a lot of times our minds go to popsicles for the football team after practice, sunflower seed buckets for the baseball team, meals pregame for the basketball team. And I want to get your thoughts on, now we're going to get real specific here, on a male youth pastor and how they can engage in like a non-creepy, weird-looking way with the girls of the ministry in campus ministry. Because that's, I think some of the awkwardness, like if we push through the awkwardness here in this moment, I think some of the awkwardness is male student pastors thinking, it's really strange for me to show up at a cheer competition.
Yeah.
And I agree.
Yeah.
So let's... like, or the girls' volleyball team and helping the coach and the player. But the calling is to minister to all students, right? And we have to do that in a responsible, safe, strategic way. So what are your thoughts there? How can a, if we can get real specific, how can a male student pastor engage In a non-creepy way.
Yeah.
With campus ministry towards the girls in their ministry.
You know, I think it's really, it's fairly simple, and it's using your brain, first and foremost, to do exactly what you were just talking about, Ben. No matter what it is, don't go by yourself. You know, like, take those other small group leader, like, take, you know, if there's a couple who is serving as 10th grade small group leaders, say, hey, do y'all both want to go with me to this volleyball game?
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you've got college students that are serving, like, empower them to do some of the same kind. Like, if you've got a really strong volunteer leader, or if you have a team of people and have somebody that can step in and do that kind of thing, you know, empower them to feel like they can do the same kind of things that you can, and that you're going to come alongside, you're going to support, but that's not something you're totally leading out in. Because I think it's, like, if you're showing up by yourself to those things, that's where it looks creepy and weird. But if you've kind of got your little squad of people, and like, and I think it's that whole thing too. It's like, if it's just you and a 10th grade girls small group leader, that's weird too. And so it's
that's correct.
And sometimes you're going to show up and they're going to also be there. It wasn't planned ahead of time. And like, just sit, hang out with everybody that's around you. Just don't make it weird.
Yeah.
And,
I think where you choose to sit is really important, that too, because, again, you want to do this in a clearly safe, above reproach kind of. So if you show up and the 10th grade girls or 7th grade girls small group leader is there, planting yourself right next to them, probably not the best decision.
Yeah.
Say hello, sit behind, sit in front of, you know, whatever. Just thinking through those things is really helpful. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, knowing the parent, this is when parent ministry comes in
huge,
because when you know the parents, you can call Susie's parents and say, hey, going to be there to support the team. Are you guys going to be there?
Yeah.
And then you can sit
with them,
not every case, but you can sit with Susie's dad.
Yeah. And I think, too, if you're looking to if you're a male student pastor looking at ways to involve your family, like, let those be, like, you don't necessarily, like, let those be the moments where your wife comes with you if she's able to, like, where she's also there in those moments. And that just makes it super simple. And if you're a single student pastor, you know, just be intentional and think about these things ahead of time. And you want the girls in your student ministry to know that you're supporting them and you've got their back. And, like, just as much as the guys on the football team or the baseball team, just like you mentioned, you know, but just to, the more that you can plan ahead and put it on your calendar. And those are the things that, like, at this point in my life, like, I feel pretty tied to my calendar, but I didn't 10 years ago. And I was way more fly by the seat of my pants. Oh, I'll remember this. I've got time for that. I'll figure it out later. And I think now, you know, when my husband and I sit down every month, we make a budget together. And we also look at our calendar for the next month and those sorts of things, just the communication there. But even if you're a single guy doing ministry, like, mark it on your calendar to look at your calendar, but, like, figure out a rhythm where you can think these things out ahead of time and be proactive, because, like, I think as long as you're not being a creep, like, you can do the exact same kinds of things that you would do with a guy's team anywhere, but be proactive and don't show up alone. Don't sit by a mom, like, just by yourself. Like, figure out those things and figure out the natural inroads to where it's just normal and it's not that hard. You just have to think about it first.
I agree. Think through it ahead of time and plan out. And the reality is, some of you might be thinking, man, I've got to think through all that. Like, I have to really plan to not look creepy or not look like it's just me and this person there to get in our day to day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You have to think through that.
It's not an option anymore. And that's just where we are today in 2019 of just going, if you want to be effective in ministry, you have to be prepared and you've got to think ahead and be wise in the situations you're putting yourself in, not even always necessarily to protect everybody else, but to protect yourself, you know, and to be somebody who nobody would ever raise a question about, you know, because you live a life of character and integrity.
Yeah.
So,
and at the same time, you have to empower the women that are around you in ministry that you've recruited to serve, small group leaders. If your church staff is at the place where you have a person on staff that ministers specifically to girls, empower the people around you, moms, volunteer leaders, all of those things that you've heard us talk about on the podcast before and that you heard Mary Margaret mention just a minute ago. And at the same time, they have to know you care about them too.
Yeah.
You can't just, I've got all of these women doing it, I don't have to ever speak to them.
Yeah.
That doesn't fit your calling.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to balance those things. Okay, let's move to one other topic in regards to campus ministry. And I think this is another commonly forgotten piece of campus ministry, because when we think about campus ministry, we often think about it in terms of I'm there to do outreach.
Yeah.
Like this goes back to the, I'm there to invite people to the event.
Right.
I'm there to do outreach. I'm there to meet people that don't go to church anywhere. And in that, we forget about the Christian schools in our area.
Yeah. That's a really easily overlooked spot, because like, I think it's exactly what you said, Ben. It's very natural to think of campus ministry as outreach only. And when really the biggest piece of it that we're able to do without a lot of questions asked is just build relationship. And so don't forget about those kids, because they're just as excited to see you on their campus as the kids at public school are. And to, you know, as you think about it, think about the homeschool kids that are in your church, because I think they're even more forgotten because they're not in a traditional school setting. And finding ways that like you could schedule like, hey, if you're homeschooled, like on Tuesday, we're all going to meet here for lunch, like that you create your own school.
You show
lunch
up at their house with a grilled cheese.
There you go. Whatever you got to do.
I think you're right on, though.
Yeah.
Like those two.
It's easily,
they're forgotten.
Yeah, but they, you know, those coaches and teachers and administrators need the same kind of support and encouragement as the public school teachers do. And the inroad is usually much wider there too. And so sometimes it can be really easy to lean in super hard that way to the neglect. It's a balancing act, because this is just one area of ministry, but it's one that like is so crucial to the effectiveness of everything as a whole, because you're showing up, you're being present, they're getting to know you, you're building relationships, and like that is going to fuel everything else that you're doing, you know, because it supports your parents, your small group leaders, your students, and it hits so many different people that if, like you said at the beginning, again, having a plan for this is really crucial. And, you know, think ahead of time and look at the landscape of your student ministry and go, where are our students? Like, and where do I need to show up more often? Where kind of is falling off the radar? Where do we, you know, maybe, and two, this is where I think we've got to be careful too, is thinking about like, where are the schools where all the other student ministries show up to? Like you show up for a ball game or lunch and every other church in your town is there too. And you don't want to neglect that, but of going, where are they not showing up? Like where are the gaps that I need to be there too? And not looking at those moments as a competition at all, but of like how, you know, where can I best put all of my energy and support, you know, that's best for your church.
Yeah. So you mentioned other churches, and we could put maybe other ministries in there too.
Yeah.
Like if you have Young Life in your area, they're going to be involved and they're going to be around at
First
things.
Priority, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. So what do you do? You mentioned it's not a competition.
Yeah.
So when you're like, when you show up at something and you see the other ministry person there, like what, how do you handle that situation?
You just always be the one to walk over and say hello.
Yeah.
And, you know, and to acknowledge that they're there too. And just, you know, to say, hey, it's so good to see you. Like, it's good, you know, and like, you don't have to spend 10 minutes talking to him, but don't ever, it's really easy for both parties to kind of shrink back and just go, I'm just not going to acknowledge that they're over there. And like, that's just, it just gets weird. Like, that's a real easy way to make youth ministry in your town feel weird, is if you're just not even able to engage with another student pastor or ministry
leader.
That's
so true. So, and it doesn't just make it weird for you and that other student pastor. It makes it weird for your students.
Yeah.
And so like having that conversation that you just talked about, in the minds of the students that see you do that, man, it takes them from lowercase k kingdom to begin to see a glimpse of uppercase K kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
I would say even, so like we talked about other student pastors, but even with other ministry leaders in your area. So if your area, I mentioned Young Life a minute ago, Young Life has a big presence in our area here where I live. In other places, it's been FCA. In other places, you mentioned First Priority. Building partnerships and relationships with those other ministries will only help.
Yeah.
You never want to be seen as adversarial to the other ministries in your area because mm-hmm. that causes confusion for your students.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to have connections with those other things.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you want to be able to support, again, your students mm-hmm. in your campus ministry.
And for some of you, it's, and I think, Ben, you hit on this really well earlier, but, you know, if you are the new guy, go get to know them. But if you've been the guy who's been there for 5 years and hasn't gotten to know them yet, or the female leader who just hasn't reached out that direction, just let this week be the week that you do that, or this month, and make it a priority and just say, hey, I know it's been a minute. We've seen each other around, but I just wanted to say hello. I just wanted to get to know you a little bit better. And anything that you can do to just build bridges and to open doorways and things like that for other people, because at the end of the day, we're all striving for the same purpose, for the same goal. And they know the same kind of things that you're walking through that are difficult in ministry and that get frustrating in ministry. And they can be a real encouragement to you if you can build a relationship. And now that's an ideal picture, but if nothing else, you be the bigger person that is not afraid to go over and shake a hand, give a high five, say hello, and move on. But to be the person who is not afraid to build a relationship with your peers, because it's just we're wanting our students to step out and to talk to people that they don't necessarily know what to do with. It's that exactly what you're talking about. We've got to set the example and set the bar high, and just to say, I'm gonna let whatever water go under the bridge, and I'm just gonna walk over here and say hello, and then I'm gonna move on to the next thing. Or maybe that could lead into a great conversation and maybe a time to go to lunch at some point or whatever.
Yeah. And it's okay to say, and goes a long way to say, hey, I'm sorry I haven't met you yet to this point.
Mm-hmm.
That one phrase, just
acknowledging,
listen, owning the fact that you haven't stepped out on that yet.
Yeah.
And I think if this is an area of ministry that you are listening right now and you are evaluating, man, maybe I haven't done everything that I can in campus ministry yet. It's not too late.
No.
You are in the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're listening to this podcast months from when it's released and you're in the middle of your school year, it's never too late to say, you know what, this matters because my students matter. And if I want to show them I care about them, show them that I love them, if I want to model what it means, like you said, to step out and meet somebody new and do what we're encouraging them to do, then I need to engage in this.
Absolutely.
I really believe that a student ministry that does not have a campus ministry component is not going to be as effective as they could be.
Yep.
So I hope that as you've listened to this podcast, you've been challenged to think through some things with campus ministry. I hope that you have been encouraged in some direction that you're heading. Dust off those plans, evaluate them, make some new ones. And I hope and pray that this year, your campus ministry is taken to the next level, and because of that, you're able to minister to your students in a brand new way. This has been another episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We will see you next time.